May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another in accordance with Christ Jesus, so that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Last week, I talked about the anticipation that is wrapped up in Advent. And each year we read stories of the prophets, like the one this morning in Isaiah, that tell of a day where God's presence will be restored on earth. It's this vision of where creation is made perfect again, where the lion lies down with the lamb, where all humanity, not just the Israelites, come to Zion to worship God. And there's this sense of excitement in the anticipation. And here's the thing. We learn from Paul that even the angels don't know the story. Even they are waiting in anticipation for the coming of Christ. And so we get this picture in Luke at the birth of Jesus, where this entire host of angels all of a sudden appear and they start crying out, "Glory to God in the highest." It was spontaneous. It was genuine. Because all of the angels and all of creation waited with bated breath on the restoration that would come at the birth of Christ. And this Advent season helps us experience the tension, the hope that led up to the arrival of Jesus. Now, the other thing that's interesting about Advent is, like Lent, it's actually one of the church's penitential seasons. And we don't really make a big deal about it like we do in Lent. But we see this even in our collect. We prayed this at the very beginning. God, who sent the prophets to preach repentance and prepare the way for our salvation, give us grace to heed their warnings and forsake our sins, that we may greet with joy the coming of Jesus Christ, the Redeemer. We see this same thing in what I just read about John the Baptist. See, his whole mission was to prepare people for the coming Messiah by calling them to repentance. And so everything that we've read really this morning challenges us to consider how we might prepare our hearts, that we might prepare the way of the Lord in us. And one way, according to our text this morning, one way to prepare for His coming is for the pursuit, is for us to pursue peace and unity within the body of Christ. Last week we talked about a divided Israel. An Israel that was broken between kingdoms, surrounded on all sides, and largely because of their sin. And yet, despite how messed up they were, God graciously promises to restore not just them, but all the earth, to restore all people so that they would come to Zion as one voice to worship God. And we see that as this unity increases among God's people, the ultimate outcome is the greater and greater worship and glory given to God. This is basically what the letter to the Romans is all about. See, Paul in Romans is writing to believers who are from both Jewish and Gentile backgrounds. And quite frankly, they're fighting. They're at odds with each other within this church. And he calls them to live in harmony in order that they might glorify God. And that's what Advent is about. Advent's promise of peace is not only about restoring our own individual hearts, hearts that have been separated from God through sin. It's not just about restoring us. His coming began the process of restoring both our hearts and our relationships with each other. This twofold healing and restoration that began at Advent, that began at the coming of Christ, is what continues today within us. Okay, so last week I made fun of, you know, that stereotypical Thanksgiving dinner, right? See the smiles. That's, you know what? It's not always this way, but it's that stereotype where on Thanksgiving, that's that one day a year that the family just has to get together. And what do? You sit around the table and you argue. You fight. It's when your crazy uncle shows up, right? And you're just like, oh, I just got to get through the day. And at the end, they leave. Whoever's hosting is like sprawled out on the couch. You know, the kitchen's a wreck because you just don't have the energy left. The reality is that relationships are just often painful. There's brokenness. There's hurt. And not only in families, but in neighborhoods, in societies, and even in churches, there's brokenness. We become divided along generational lines, political lines, racial lines, you name it. And we become broken. And the thing is, oftentimes the hurts are legitimate. I mean, a pride rears its ugly head. We say things that hopefully in hindsight we look back and think, oh, I should never have said that. Or, you know, we get offended and we just, instead of choosing to work together to make it right, we just bear a grudge. We just nurse that wound and keep it going. And the thing is, well, sometimes it's just, you know, good old sin rearing its ugly head and bringing division among us. Here's the thing. Advent is hope for all of that. It is the hope that the broken relationships that we face day in and day out have this promise of restoration and healing because of the coming of this baby, Jesus. I mentioned that the church in Rome was divided. Just a quick history lesson. After the ascension of Christ, Jewish believers left Jerusalem and went to Rome and basically set up church. And then Gentiles started coming to Christ and becoming part of the church. But they weren't being invited into areas of leadership within the church. And then somewhere like in the late 40s, 48, 49 AD, some Emperor Claudius expels all the Jews out of Rome. Bunch of troublemakers. Y'all are gone. Get out. But that included the Jewish Christians. And that left a void that the Gentile believers had to fill. And so the Gentiles had to leave the church. Well, eventually the ban is lifted and these Jewish Christians start coming back. And they return expecting to fill their former positions of leadership. And as you can imagine, it didn't go over very well. Because at the time, the Jewish Christians saw themselves as superior. They saw themselves as, many of them, not all of them, but they saw themselves as super Christians. Jesus was their Messiah. You know, we'll open the door for you, but, you know, we come from the law. And so we're more serious about our faith. And the thing is, Paul has to tell the Jews that, first of all, everybody comes on the basis of faith. And it was God's plan all along to include the Gentiles into the family of God through faith. And he tells the Jewish Christians that it's their responsibility to welcome the Gentile believers into the fold as equals. And in doing this, he goes one step farther. In doing this, God is glorified. And Paul basically says this: listen, you all are sinners. You all need Jesus. You all are justified by faith alone. You need to get along, because much like Israel was divided, the glory of God is at stake. And then Paul prays for them. He prays for their harmony. And there's a purpose in that harmony. It's just not so they would get along. It's a purpose. It's so that they may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He calls on the Church of Rome to walk in humility, to lay aside all bitterness, to lay aside all divisions, and find a commonality in their faith in Christ. They were to welcome one another. They were to live in harmony, not so they can just sit around a campfire and sing kumbaya. It's not just so whenever they get together at a potluck, it won't go sideways. It's so much more than that. He pleads for their harmony for the sake of worship. Okay, now if I stopped right there, you might think that it was up to you to somehow screw up the strength to put up with that person sitting next to you or across the aisle. I guess I shouldn't pick on the relationships. But you might think that it was up to you to do that work. Live in harmony with each other, or else God's going to get you. Or it might sound like Paul's like giving them another law, right? Another law that if you're able to follow, well, then God will be happy and everything will be copacetic and worship will be fine. And here's the thing. While it's true that we must do our part to walk in a disciplined faith, we are called to walk in humility and harmony. Paul is yet clear on where the power comes from to achieve this unity. Peace that is real and that is lasting comes only from God and is only given through Him. And that's why Paul prays this. He says he prays and asks God to grant them. He says, God, grant them to live in harmony with each other. The hope of Advent is this, is that the Lord comes to earth. He changes our hearts, and then He brings peace and unity to a people who are broken. Humanity has never been successful in following God on their own strength and in their own power. Never. It is God's power at work in us that mends our differences and enables us to give Him glory. And we see it right here. We see this in our church. One of the several things that I've told people that I love about this church is the fact that we are so diverse. I mean, we have black, white, brown. We have old, young, conservative, liberal, and somehow we all get along. You can laugh. You can say amen. It's okay. We do. I love it. But it is God at work in us, binding our hearts together. And this only happens because of a baby born in a manger a little over 2,000 years ago. He came to restore each one of our hearts in this room so that He might bind us together as one. Now, there's still work to be done. Amen. I mean, we have our hurts. We still have our divisions. There are things among us that I implore each one of us to actively seek God, to seek His power to mend. It's just things that we've been holding on for a long time or whatever. I don't know. But we are called to come together as a family for the purpose of worship. And we will seek to grow in humility and grace with each other so that God may further work out this unity as a family. And it's not just about the people who are in here today. It's about the people, it's about those that the Lord will bring to be a part of this family. I mean, every member here desires for this church to grow. And that means that we have to be open to whomever the Lord walks through those doors. That we respond to them with welcome, with love. We would love as Christ loves. See, this is the thing that Christ came to earth for. To mend our sinful hearts and to join the body of Christ together for the purpose that God will be glorified. See, Advent anticipates this peace. Advent anticipates this restoration. It fulfills these Old Testament promises that the lion will lay down with the lamb, that all the people will stream to Zion to give worship. It points us to the work of Christ that brings peace on earth to those on whom His favor rests. This power is at work within us, shaping us and building us as a family. And so the same prayer that was said by Paul in Romans can be said for us this morning. May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant us to live in harmony with one another, in accordance with Christ Jesus, so that together we may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Amen.